If you're anything like I was, the thought of getting older was the last thing on your mind. But here we are. For me, it started slowly. The lack of energy. Never being in the mood. And when I was, I could never perform at my best. I tried the pills and other treatments with minimal results, and all but given up on my sex life. Then, I found the doctors at New Mayo Medical Center. Wow, they made a new male out of me. Feel like I'm 25 again. I have renewed vigor, so much more energy, and no longer worry about my performance. New Mayo treated me like my situation was one of a kind. With a custom treatment plan that really works, I feel great. They can create one for you too. It does not matter if you suffer from low testosterone, erectile dysfunction, or just want to last longer. New Mayo will help you.
Call New Mayo Medical Center today at 847-852-4144. That's 847-852-4144. 847-852-4144. It will change your life. 847-852-4144. Football fans, Real Time Sports in Elk Grove Village is your spot for your fantasy draft this season. Featuring Wi-Fi, plenty of room, even private rooms. Food and drink specials are available. For more information, visit realtimesportsbar.com.
My dad's idea of a good time is eating bucket after bucket of slices at the local driving range when it's 100 degrees outside. Whatever. Luckily, there's Main Event Entertainment, where there is something fun for everyone, and the AC is always on. Now friends and families can enjoy a variety of awesome fun, like bowling, billiards, laser tag, gravity ropes, and more, starting at only $15.95 per person with their summer fun pass. So listen to me. This summer, grab your family and friends and head into Main Event and ask for their summer fun pass. It's where everyone can enjoy a slice of fun together without having to witness how bad of a golfer your dad really is.
Hurry in to Main Event this summer and purchase your very own fun pass starting at $15.95 per session. Fun. Promotion valid May 21st through September 7th. Not valid with any other offer or towards group reservations. Certain restrictions apply. Go to MainEvent.com for more details.
Bears fans, trust all of our shows and team of Bears experts to get you ready for the start of the regular season, along with live Bears reports from Hallis Hall, breaking Bears news, and in-depth conversation with Bears players and coaches, only on Chicago's home for Bears fans. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago. Scoreboard update.
1 o'clock from the Score Update studio. I'm Nick Shepkowski. Bears back to work this morning at Hallis Hall. Jeremiah Ratliff suspended for the first three regular season games without pay for violating the NFL's policy and program for substances of abuse. He's not going to appeal the league's decision. Bears also made a couple moves today. They signed guard Lucas Nix to a one-year deal, waived tight end Jason Weaver. Cubs and Indians moments away from taking place at Wrigley Field. Good pitching matchup today, as it's going to be John Lester taking on Corey Kluber. Some news at the ballpark, though. Jorge Soler's headed to the DL with a left oblique strain. Jason Mott also to the DL with a shoulder strain. Zach Roscup and Tommy La Stella called up to the big league squad. 105 first pitch at Wrigley today. They also signed today minor leaguer Quinton Berry. He spent time with the Orioles, Tigers, and Red Sox in the past years. He reports to Iowa. White Sox back at home for a seven-game homestand here. First of three against the Red Sox tonight. Jeff Samardzija takes on Joe Kelly in the pitching matchup. Other news around the NFL today. Marquise Pouncey of the Steelers headed for surgery after breaking his ankle in yesterday's preseason contest against Green Bay. For the Packers, Jordy Nelson has reportedly torn his ACL, and today the Patriots agree to a one-year deal with veteran receiver Reggie Wayne. This scoreboard update brought to you by Ryan Kelly. Visit thehomeloanexpert.com and join 670 The Score's Jay Zawoski for a score appearance Monday from 12 to 2 p.m. at T-Mobile in Chicago in Hyde Park. Come out, enter for your chance to win great prizes. Brought to you by T-Mobile. I'm Nick Shepkowski, and you're listening to Chicago's number one sports radio station, Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Thanks for listening.
God bless America.
Thank you, Shep. Ladies and gentlemen, that's double duty Shepkowski right there. You know, when somebody goes down and he's ready to roll, he did a terrific job today, as did Jay Zawoski. We thank them for all their help. Kevin Zipak as well. Brian Gertz is the video coordinator, and he does it well. He's the governor of the chat room over there on watch670thescore.com. So if you say anything out untoward or out of your mind, my man Brian Gertz will put you back in your place. We want to thank our guest, Wayne Larravee, K Kevin Fishbane, Bruce Levine, and Zach Zabin for joining the show. Jordan Burnfield on the updates. And, of course, as I just mentioned, Nick Shepkowski. Hub, thank you so much. I will talk to you again on Wednesday and Thursday. Tomorrow is going to be Barry Rosner, who is in for Matt Spiegel. And Friday, of course, as I mentioned, Lawrence Holmes. But before any of that, ladies and gentlemen, we've got Dan and Terry, the transition. I love thinking about transition during the weekend. Like, what are these guys going to talk about? What are they going to bring up first? And I don't know if it's Cubs hotness, all the news that we got today.
Bears greatness.
Look, but what tickled your fancy this
absence
weekend?
Absence of bad does not equal good.
It doesn't in my equation. The one I learned in
your equation
grade,
sucks.
My equation was absence of bad equals good.
Look, they look better than the first game, but there's still some problems.
Got that from Dr. Schultz.
Where are the damn playmakers? Where are the playmakers? Other teams have guys just that will do stuff for. I mean, a nice, competent offense that's not making mistakes is fine, but you're not going to win games running these shallow crosses against everybody all game. That's not the league anymore.
No, but I think what was encouraging, I wouldn't say exciting Saturday night, is I think Jeremy Langford's going to be a playmaker. That Matt Forte could be a playmaker in this thing. And the guys that you need to do it on defense, first rep Pernell McPhee, second rep Jared Allen, the problem is it's not enough. And
the problem,
Dan, you and I are in the same place, but I am saying that there were at least some things to enjoy Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, there were, but man, I am so really deeply concerned that Kyle Fuller may be bad. And I'm not just talking about plays on which he was targeted, because I've looked at all those stats, I've seen everything that I've been writing, and what Durkin has been writing too, some really good stuff about just how exploitable and mark he has been last year and is going to be this year.
The last 14 games he's looked awful, including this
correct
season.
I'll tell you, there was a play in that game that was galling, where I had to stop the tape and roll it back and watch it again.
When he got turned around,
there was
the
a
deep post
there. No, it wasn't his guy. There was a pass in the slot to Andre Johnson on his side of the field, and the play was made, and it was an 8-yard gain. But at no point in that play, from pre-snap to the time that the guy caught the ball and somebody else made the play, did Kyle Fuller have any clue what was happening in front of him? There was no recognition. There was no anticipation. Had he understood what was happening, that's a 4-yard gain. He comes off his guy. He sees the play. And I'm not asking sniff it out, diagnose it, pick it off. I'm just saying, be a football player. Don't get dog walked down the field by a wide receiver who was in pass block mode
from
before the snap.
Yeah.
There's got to be some recognition. You've got a job as a corner to at least disengage, turn that thing in a different direction. That was the play that really galled me, because it showed this continuing lack of football instinct.
You know, I've been talking about this actually for almost a year, and particularly during the offseason. I've been at almost every practice and training camp. He's had a bad summer. He's had a bad camp. He was a bad football player after week 3 of last year. Came back, wasn't bad. Week 4, the Packers came to town, and that was it. You hoped it was a learning process. He's an interesting-looking athlete. I've maintained all along he's a safety-playing cornerback. And you don't write him off yet, because he really is. He's an interesting athlete. He's got some ball skills. There's some things he can do. But he's just not playing well right now. And what complicates that, guys, is Antrell Roll looks to me, and now here's a 33-year-old,
retired,
I think 9-10-year veteran. Well, but there's two possibilities here. He knows what a waste of time this is. And he's been to 3 Pro Bowls. He probably can, if he's in shape, turn it on, turn it off.
That's the Adrian Wilson theory. That didn't work for us.
Well, that was different, though, because Wilson had been out and been hurt. I mean,
yeah, Wilson was.
Yeah, Roll played really well last year. What bothers me is the more I watch him, the more I start to think Adam Archuleta. That he's just, well, because I think he's...
I don't think you're allowed to mention his name
anymore. Just did, yeah.
It's not nice.
I mean, Roll looks to me to be a quarter to a half step slow.
Yeah.
And I'm just hoping that it's because he's coasting right now, because if he's not, that's how you end up with Archuleta.
You better get Mundy healthy really quickly then.
Well, if that was the answer, you wouldn't have brought Roll here in the first place. So we're really talking about, going into camp, guys, it all looked like, hey, we're going to be fine on the back end. You got to figure it out up front. It looks like they're finding some answers up front, but suddenly the back end is looking very scary.
And you know who can't play? Charles Leno Jr. And
God.
We're going to find out more that he can't play
if you could hold and tackle.
Yeah,
you can't do that.
You can't just put your hands in the face mask of a guy and ride him all the way out.
Is there a reason they called that illegal hands to the face and not a physical foul for face masking? He closed his hand on the face mask and turned his head.
I don't know.
I had commented earlier in the show, I thought he would have been better off just tackling him. better chance of getting away with it than what he did. I mean, that was the most blatant face mask I've ever seen. I'm watching it. I think, why aren't they calling it a face mask? Why do we have to make something up here? I mean, he's got him by the face mask. He's wrenching his head around. And that's not the way you play tackle.
They're at the point, too, where this Cincinnati game, I know it's the dress rehearsal and all this other crap, but the margin for error and the margin for injury is none right now. I don't know if you can play that entire offensive side of the football for three quarters. I don't know if you can do that. You got too many injuries, especially at the wide receiver position.
Well, I think, first of all, Leno gets another chance because that, I believe, was his first snap in pass pro. And you know, the juices are going, and the guy probably blew by him so fast he didn't know what happened.
The hands are holding.
He settled down a little bit later. You know, he made some, we'll see what you got there. I don't think you got anything great. Jason, you do not have that luxury. You went to camp. This is the roster you brought to camp, okay? Yep. And the Kevin White injury is the Kevin White injury. Other than that, you got everybody. I mean, you're protecting Alshon Jeffrey. You got to find out what you can do, because I've been screaming from the mountaintops, you got to go out and find some street vets at wide receiver. Even if Jeffrey's healthy, you can't go into the season saying we've got Jeffrey and Royal and nobody else who's caught an NFL pass.
But I mean, I'm talking about Forte, too. Like, I don't need to see Forte play him.
Particularly because you've got to decide if you're going to keep a fourth running back. I mean, you know you got Lankford and Rodgers. So,
it looks like it based on who's playing what special teams. It looks like you've got Rodgers and Perry for sure.
Well, but Carey is
not Carey. Perry.
You're right, but Carey is a better running back than Perry.
Correct, so, but Perry plays what was in three or four different special teams.
Perry has been very visible on their special teams. So I also, though, and Zach will shoot me for this, though, I think people are overrating that. The special teams are a work in progress, just like the offense and the defense is. And as important as it may be, and even more important on a bad team, you still got to find your 53 best players.
And the defense allows them, a 3-4 defense allows them with more linebackers.
They'll move some people around on special teams once they figure out who the fifth guy on this unit, the seventh guy on that unit is. It's something to look at. It's a tell. But I don't think it's something you can't move away from.
Yeah, but your eight, Captain Ocho, is not looking good, regardless of your two big preseason victories.
Is it eight with the preseason?
He's already at two.
I'm not really ever going to listen to a guy who rewinds a play in a preseason game. I really am not going to listen to you at all today. I'm not listening.
It was a teaching moment because my son and I both watched it.
Stanley Cup rings in my ears.
We watched it last night, and I said I want to show you a little something about football instincts. And freeze it right here. And we rewound it. We started again. We said, I want you to watch Kyle Fuller. This whole thing. I'm standing in front of the screen. I said,
just as irritating at home as he is here.
This guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Let's look at this.
Dan Lombardi walked it through.
I'll tell you what was really so funny about that to me is you said your eight doesn't look very good. I just assumed you were talking about Jimmy Clausen.
He
looks awful.
He's a bad player.
Who else looked awful? That played quarterback. He played quarterback.
Matt Hasselbeck.
Oh, Lord.
Matt Hasselbeck. I didn't know he had been in the league for 18 years now.
Oh, my God.
It was just yesterday he was saying we're going to take the ball and we're going
to
win.
He's all time in some categories.
Remember when Steve DeBerg came back to back up Chris Chandler on that Falcons team? That's what this Matt Hasselbeck is.
Well, he was quitting. He was going to settle into something else, TV or whatever, and they said come and play.
You know why a lot of people think in the Indianapolis area why he's on the team, too, is because he takes a lot of those media responsibilities off Andrew Luck. Like, he's got the show. And the punter, was it McAfee?
McAfee.
Who's pretty funny, by the way.
The cut-ups. Yeah, those dudes are cut-ups.
Wasn't McAfee the guy they found drunk in the canal? He was standing in that canal in downtown Indianapolis. Look it up. He had some great story, and then he passed out. He like got into somebody's
drunk-ass
car.
Punter.
Yeah, not the liquored up kicker. I want to make sure I have this right.
Mike Vanderjack was the liquored up
kicker.
Pat McAfee of Indianapolis Colts arrested, charged with public drunkenness.
Yeah, he had a
October
big night.
20th, 2010.
That's not a serious joke.
We're in Indy Wednesday when the press. So I'm in the hotel, and the news comes on. And then they got McAfee in front of his locker talking about their new trick play is that he's going to do a quick change on the sideline, run out on the field naked, and boom, a kick to the corner. And everybody's going to be looking at him, and it'll go out at the 2-yard line. Something like
he'd
that.
He'd do it.
He's
a crazy man.
Yeah. We're talking about our idiot kicker,
Mike Vanderjagt. Yeah. And guess what? And there's some people that they were tweeting me during the game. Oh, Goff, you come off your Super Bowl pick now. Those Colts don't look good. Let me tell you something, player. The Colts are going to be just fine.
That is,
as long as number 12 is taking snaps.
Got tired of beating them.
Here's the opposite's extreme. That is as good a wide receiver group as I have ever seen in the NFL.
Yeah, real deal.
Oh, they are.
They barely began to flex their I didn't see you muscles.
Right. I'm over here stuff.
DeAndre Johnson is your two. You got Moncrief, who I think is going to be a
really nice
player. Moncrief's
going to be a monster. But number five is Vincent Brown, who was a threat always with the Chargers. Last week, he's making one-handed catches all over the place. Number six is Daron Carter, who is the idiot Chris's kid.
He is an idiot.
In practice, not when the Bears were there, but a couple days ago, he had five touchdowns in one practice. I mean, the kid is a monster of an athlete. And
he was in Canada, right?
Yes, he was in Canada for 2 years. He had some trouble in college. But he's number six right now, not even a lock to make the team. He would be the second best receiver on the Bears right now.
And then they drafted the kid in the first round that I really liked. I thought he may be a third round pick.
But he went, that was the injury report.
It looked like an ankle.
Yeah,
they took him out. Phil Dorsett. So, he's quick. They've got a ton of weapons.
Number seven is Griff Whalen, who made an over-the-shoulder, unbelievable catch in practice on the Bears' second two-minute drill.
Look at him going seven deep in Colts wide receivers. He's out of
what he does. It's his living. It's what he does.
That's awesome, though.
That's what he does.
I know. Just because I was in Indy last week.
It's great.
He's just emptying the bag here for you. This segment is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS-4KIDS. What else did this sports weekend have for you?
We were on vacation, so I got in one of the few Chicago stations that comes in there is BBM, so I got to hear some plenty of Cubs baseball.
Oh, yeah, Gary?
Driving around. Yeah, I'm on vacation in Gary. Yep, downtown Gary. Went to Benton Harbor.
Went to the barn dance in Gary.
No, it was... And
be careful.
So we'll talk some about that. I looked through some of the Fangraphs war numbers, and the rookie of the year thing is over. Chris Bryant is the best rookie in all of baseball. And if you look at the total accumulated value, he is objectively...
It's not Jung Ho Gung.
No, but not by a full win.
Although
the top four are all National League players. You got Duffy is second. I think he's 3.9 terrific. F war. You got your guy Jung Ho Gung, and then Randall Grichuk, who's had a terrific power hitting season.
He just got hurt. And Jock Peterson fell off the face of the earth.
He didn't though. He still had over 400 on base average this month, and they benched him. You're benching a 400 OBP guy. The hell is wrong with you?
Don Mattingly doesn't like the strikeouts.
But he's on base 41% of the time.
I'm telling you why he doesn't like it. Why are you yelling at me,
Robin Mattingly?
What is he doing?
We got into this a little bit this morning, and I think you're probably right about Bryant, but I think the wild card is if Peterson wins the Gold Glove, which I hear he may.
Here's the thing, though. Bryant is a terrific fielder, and what's amazing, look at his base running number. What's called BSR on Fangraphs, I believe he's at 6.1, which is fourth in all of baseball, not just rookies. He is the fourth most valuable base runner. As far as the runs that he adds.
You think the guys voting are going to take all this into account, too?
I'm just giving...
I don't think you need it to figure out he's rookie of the year.
He is by a mile the best rookie in all of baseball.
I don't think you need it.
As far as actual value, it's really not close.
It's crazy, too, because just imagine if Kyle Schwarber would have gotten up a little bit early and you've seen some of these numbers. I mean...
Yeah, defense and base running hurt him, though.
No doubt, but the ball going over the fence helps him out a lot.
The eye test is so easy on Chris Bryant. He's a terrific player. I don't see the need to see the number. He's doing everything.
Yeah, no, he is. He is. And I think he'll be better served.
I knew he was going to be any good.
You think
me and Rick sat down. Bust. I knew he was going to be any damn good.
You think he's going to be a long-term third baseman?
I don't know.
I think he's a corner outfielder.
Certainly improved.
But if you can do that at third, I have no reason to doubt he's not going to be a plus defensive corner outfielder. Yeah. And even a guy who can play center at a pitch.
Schwarber somewhere.
Yeah. And now Jorge Soler.
Worked on his defense. He works on things.
He's fixed that throw. He had a little problem with his arm angle, a little problem with the way the ball was leaving his hand.
You want him to go or just us?
And that looks a whole lot better.
All of us?
And me to go. Sepkowski, he's waving us off. He's had a long day. Yeah, he's going to have an even longer one.
He ran the tape and decided he didn't have anything to say, so he's going to call it.
Sheps has been doing updates. He'll continue to do updates until 6 o'clock because, damn it, he's a man of the score.
He's all mad at me for rewinding a preseason. preseason game for a teaching moment.
They're calling him out a little bit.
Teaching moment, my ass.
For a kid that's never going to play a down of football in his life.
Where's he playing at?
Right, video coordinator Dan Burns.
There you go. There you have it.
Where's that guy? Where's Jason going
to
play?
I have to control the quality to make sure it doesn't get out of hand.
What you guys got happening today?
Oh.
You got it right in front of you, you jerk.
We've got Matt Bowen at 2.
The producer's back.
We've got the second half. We got all kinds of other stuff. And I've got a beef with Joe Madden. Not a real serious one, but his sort of facile comments about pay attention are not reasonable, and it shows he probably hasn't been to a game as a fan in a long time.
All right, so looking forward to that.
That's the 20s.